Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're exploring the world of card oracles. We're going way beyond just the basics of tarot. Our mission really is to compare three pretty different systems. You've got the very structured tarot, then the nature-based Japanese Hanafuda, and also those flexible modern oracle decks. And what we want to figure out is this: how does the structure, or the lack of structure, change how much you rely on intuition when you actually do a reading?
Right. And what's so interesting, I think, is the contrast. Tarot gives you these deep, almost universal Western archetypes, steeped in esoteric tradition. But Hanafuda, that's a completely different response. It's Japanese, very focused on nature, specific cultural aesthetics. It sets up a fascinating comparison right from the start.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack Hanafuda first then, because honestly, its origin story is kind of shocking. It popped up in 17th century Japan, basically as a workaround. The government kept banning foreign playing cards because of gambling.
Exactly. So to get around the bans, the card makers had to be incredibly clever. They made the designs abstract, non-European, and they did things like integrate tenzaku, those little paper strips for writing poetry to make the cards look like harmless poetry sets, Uda Garuda. It was this like centuries-long game of cat and mouse with the authorities. Pretty amazing, really.
And this is the bit that just floored me from the sources: Nintendo, the video game giant. Their entire financial start back in 1889 was manufacturing and selling Hanafuda cards.
Isn't that something?
I mean, who knew? That's a historical twist I definitely didn't expect.
So, looking at the Hanafuda structure itself, you have 48 cards, right?
Yeah.
12 suits.
Yeah, corresponding to months and specific plants, like pine for January, cherry blossom for March, that kind of thing.
So, that structure sounds pretty defined, but our sources kept saying the readings are incredibly intuitive. How did a game system end up being used like that?
Well, that's the key thing. Divination with Hanafuda was apparently never formally systematized in Japan. It's not like tarot with its established meanings. The sources show huge variations, like that pine card for January. One source says luck, another says prosperity, another just messenger. It's all over the place.
Exactly. And that lack of a standard canonical meaning forces you, the reader, to rely much more heavily on, well, fundamental intuition. You have to kind of invent the psychological story almost from scratch each time.
Yeah.
You're not just applying a learned definition. It's more like reading abstract poetry versus following strict grammar rules.
Okay, so if Hanafuda is the freeform poetry, then tarot is definitely the structured grammar textbook, a big one. 78 cards total. You've got the 22 major arcana, those are the big life lessons, the archetypal journey, And then the 56 minor arcana, which are more like the day-to-day situations, divided into four suits elements, very structured.
Right. And with tarot, intuition is it's more complementary, I'd say. You need to learn the traditional meanings, the archetypes, first. Then your intuition acts like a bridge. It connects that general learned meaning to the very specific situation or question the person has. It's really designed for deep psychological exploration in a standardized way.
And speaking of structure, we should probably mention Lenormand quickly. It's kind of an interesting middle ground.
Yeah, the Lenormand system, only 36 cards, and the symbols are super literal. Like the dog card means a friend, the coffin means an ending, very direct.
But the key is, you don't really read them individually, do you?
No, not usually. Lenormand shines in these big, complex spreads like the Grand Tableau, which uses the whole deck. You're forced to read the cards in combination, like sentences. It's all about their position relative to each other. Highly structured, but in a different way based on placement, not just individual card meaning.
Okay. And then way over on the other side, you have the general oracle cards. Super flexible. Could be 20 cards, could be over 100. Often they're created for like quick, positive messages, emotional support, maybe not intended for that super deep analysis.
Right. So if you sort of connect the dots here,
Yeah.
the history seems to shape the use, doesn't it? Hanafuda came from games, adapted under pressure, so it leans on pure intuition for readings that feel very in the moment, maybe more emotional. Tarot, coming from esoteric study in psychology, needs that structured knowledge base first, then intuition builds on it.
Makes sense.
And we're even seeing a trend now towards hybrid decks. People are creating Hanafuda-style tarot decks, trying to get maybe the best of both approaches.
Interesting. So I guess the big takeaway for you, the listener, is that the tool really depends on what you're trying to achieve. Want structure, depth, deep psychological insight? Tarot is probably your go-to. If you value flexibility, working purely from intuition and maybe that connection to nature cycles, Hanafuda could be really rewarding.
Yeah, or if you just need a quick uplifting bit of guidance or emotional check-in, maybe a modern oracle deck is perfect for that.
Right. Choose your own adventure, basically.
And that actually leads to a final thought, something maybe for you to explore further. given this trend towards mixing things up, like fusion decks, what kind of new cultural symbols, things completely outside traditional nature imagery or mythology, do you think could or maybe should be used in a future oracle system? You know, symbols that really capture our most pressing modern human concerns.
That's a fascinating question. Definitely a deep dive for another time.